Okay. Rabbi, so tonight we're going to be discussing, amongst other halachas as well, is there an issur on Pesach to touch chametz? Lifting up. We discussed lifting up. We said lifting up is awesome, yeah. I'm talking about touching.
Where did she finish last time?
We finished Seif Beis. We finished Seif Beis. We're up to the top of page 42. Seif Gimel. So there is an issur to touch chametz. So even without it being yours, so there's no bali or bali matzah, and without lifting it up, but simply touching chametz would be an issur, because you might end up eating it. Does everybody agree with that? Touching chametz? So say, for instance, you've got chametz with salt to the goy, and fell on the floor or something, I don't know. So you're not going to... Can you push it? What are you meant to do? Lifting up? What?
We have to cover it. Is that the whole thing?
Yeah, so that's what we discussed yesterday. You meant to, but if it's... Okay, so... Say you don't need... Okay, you're right. You should cover it up, or you should...
Maybe say it's all fell out of the shelf, all onto the floor. You mean?
Yeah, exactly. Can you lift it up and put it back?
Right.
With the good stuff. Yeah. Putting it back with your leg, kicking it. What are you going to do? You're not allowed to touch. Are you allowed to touch chametz? You're not allowed to touch chametz. Let's see. Okay, that's the halacha tonight. I think there's a lot of misconception about that.
Is it different between whether it's sold stuff or whether it's stuff that you haven't
sold? So go on, what explain?
It's sold, then it's already got a kind of getter on it, because you're not going to. So if you know that it's been sold, then you're less likely to mess around with it.
So if it's sold, then you'd say you're not going to end up eating it, and therefore you're allowed to. What are you saying?
You're not over by your matzah, right?
It's not yours.
So what are you over?
I'm asking. So you're saying that you're allowed to touch because there's no issa. Yeah, and if it's yours, then you shouldn't because you're going to end up eating it. But if it's not yours, that's what you're saying probably. It's a gnev, and therefore there's no problem. You can touch it, just don't steal it.
Yeah, it could be that you might.
All right, let's see. Siv Gimel. I think there's a lot of misconception about this. Gagoy, the starting place is Gagoy Shelen Yehudi. If you've got a roof of a goy, Shesomuch le Gagoy Shelen Yehudi, up to Siv Gimel, top of page 42. Gagoy Shelen Yehudi, a roof of a goy, Shesomuch le Gagoy Shelen Yisrael, which was adjoining and right close to the roof of a yid. When his galgela chometz, and the chometz fell down, it rolled down. So kind of, the chometz rolled down from the roof of the yid to the roof of the goy. If you remember, that's where people used to store food, on the roofs. It's dry, well, not in here, but in there. It's dry, it's safe, it's clean, so you might as well keep food on the roof. Now, if the goy had chametz on his roof, and that chametz on the roof of the goy rolled down and ended up on your roof, so suddenly, lo and behold, you wake up and you see chametz on your roof, chametz in your house. What's the halacha? Harei ze doich foy bekone. Push it off with a stick. Push it off with a stick. If this happened on Shabbos, or Yom Tov, it took place on Yom Tov, kevel of kli, you should cover up with a kli. Why? To also taltiloi, because it's also to move it b'yom tov b'Shabbos, because on Shabbos is an additional issur of mukta. So you're not allowed to touch. If the chametz ended up on your property on Shabbos, you're not allowed to take it away. You're allowed to carry it up because of mukta. Chametz is mukta on Shabbos and Yom Tov. But if it's Chol HaMoed, what should you do? Push it with a stick. So what does that teach us? Says the Mishnah Berurah in Seif Katan Tes. How is it doich foy? You should push it. Chol HaMoed, push it. Af the ein ha-chometz sheloi. Although the chometz is not yours. Ve'einoi oive b'val yiroe. And you're not oive on bal yiroe. Mikol mokoyim, nevertheless. Also, you're not allowed to keep it in your domain. Because perhaps you're going to end up eating it. It's chametz, it might not be yours. But we know chametz cannot be in your domain even if it's not yours. Unless you make what? Unless you make a separation or partition or something like that. But otherwise, chametz may not be in your domain even if it's not yours. So you're not allowed to keep, point number one, you're not allowed to keep the chametz in your domain. Point number two, what are you meant to do? You push it off with a stick. So the Mishnah says in Seif Cotton Yod, but to hold, to push it away with your hands is not permitted. Dilma because perhaps you're going to end up eating it. So halacha number one, remove it from your domain. You're not allowed to keep chametz in your domain even if it's not yours. Point number two, push it off, but you can't push it off with your hands. That's forbidden. So you push it away there with a stick. So we're learning from here, you may not touch chametz only with a stick, yeah. Why is it what? Why is it? Because why is it not koine? Why are you not koine in your shoes? The answer is because you're only koine something if you've got some sort of das that you want to be koine. If you positively don't want to be koine something, I cannot force you to be koine something. If I want to get rid of my rubbish and I just dump a new, that doesn't mean, and I dump a new in front house, you're not going to be koine. Yeah. So, right. So, but Al Kaponim Aboy Sai, we're learning over here that you may not touch chametz. Here it is, Aloch, you may not touch chametz. So yesterday we learned you're not allowed to carry it, you're not allowed to lift it up. And today we're learning you're not allowed to touch it. And if it does end up anywhere near you, you have to push it away with a stick. So this is important to know. Now, a question is asked in Achronim, that what is the difference to where else do we find that you're not allowed to consume food just once off? Tanis, or more specifically, Yom Kippur. Yeah, that's right. On Yom Kippur, are you allowed to touch food on Yom Kippur? Yeah. Of course you are. So why? What's going to be the question? What's going to be the obvious question? One thing, what's going to be the obvious question?
What is the difference between?
Yeah, that on Pesach we are saying you're not allowed to touch food. You have to push it away with a stick. And on Yom Kippur we are saying you're allowed to touch it. If the reason is on Pesach you're not allowed to touch it because you might end up eating it, so surely also on Yom Kippur you should say. Right, so the question, see, what's the answer? What do you say? Eim Adin, explain. Yeah, so very good.
I think it's another test, isn't there? Another test.
Yeah.
That if you're only meant to touch the tzoyach there. For example, if you're feeding katana, or you need to eat because it's your chayla shiyich, because katana whatever.
Is there a loch? You're not allowed to shlo li tzoyach. Not allowed to eat food. I don't know.
I think you bring something.
I don't know. I don't remember. I'm not aware. I don't remember.
I mean, how are the katana who's not able to feed themselves?
Right. Okay. So therefore, you're saying that. Therefore, you're saying that even us saying the tzorich, we're not allowed to touch chometz, even the tzorich. In fact, it's a great tzorich because it's in your domain. You want
to
get rid of
it. There's another way to do it.
There also, it doesn't say if you can in another way, you should feed with a yeah. Very good, very good. Naftali says, and the answer which the Mishnah Berurah says, that very good, Naftali, that psychologically, it's much more likely you're going to end up eating, I don't know what you think about this, at what, as a reflex, as a mistake, what's more likely to happen? Chametz on Pesach, that you got a bad mistake, eat, or any food on Yom Kippur? What's more likely to happen? It's more likely...
You won't,
because why is it? I don't know why, but it's because we're eating so many other things on Pesach, so you could, and we're so accustomed to eating bread all year round, so there is an element of, you might by mistake, so Chachamim therefore made over there an issa to touch chametz. Chachamim said, don't touch chametz, because a mistake is more likely to happen with chametz on Pesach, as opposed to any food in Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, somehow there's that blockage.
If you're at home,
it's a psychological answer.
If you're at home, you're giving food to the kids on Yom Kippur, then is it the same for
Yeah, but you're not going to... So the Mishtabua assumes that you're less likely to make that mistake on Yom Kippur than on... And that's what it said, use a stick on Pesach. It's not so much that... That might be a different answer. But here we're saying that he just, in terms of mistakes, you're more likely to, by mistake, end up eating that half a pita, which you ate yesterday, and you eat next week again. I don't know. I'm not 100% sure.
It's really. It's in Yom Kippur, you can't eat anything, whereas on Pesach, because you can eat certain things.
You might, by mistake, end up eating the half a pita.
That's quite a straightforward story.
It is straightforward. Yeah. So that's why you need a stick on Pesach, but you don't need a stick on Yom Kippur.
You can't eat anything.
Yeah, I know, but there is a confusion, because even what about if you feed your kids? You may hold...
So that's why I'm saying maybe it should be a different story to a Noshim to an Noshim. Because a Noshim is going to be in short davening, and Noshim tends to be...
Yeah, but we're not mechalek lemaisa. We're not mechalek between age, gender, well, you know, protective characteristics. We're not...
You don't have to worry about
food. Everything is absolutely... So we're not... So why would there be a difference between Pesach and Yom Kippur? Pesach and Yom Kippur. Yeah. So there's another answer, which what you mentioned earlier. Another answer which the Bible says that there is a masadin. There is that answer. So there's a halacha that is brought down that normally you're not allowed to have, you're not allowed to learn le'oir haneir. What does that mean? Yeah, sure. You're not allowed to learn when there's a candle on Friday night, because you're going to end up, you might by mistake, if it's flickering or something, you're going to end up touching the candle in there over on making a fire on Shabbos. Now, that is true on a regular Shabbos. Yom Kippur, that it doesn't apply. Yom Kippur, you are allowed to. Why are you allowed to on Yom Kippur? So the Gemara says, because Emas Hadin, because Emas, the fear of Yom Kippur is on you. And you're never going to make a mistake in Yom Kippur. It's too scary. And you're like, subconsciously, there's some sort of tension, or consciously, there's that kind of tension. And you're going to be wary, and you're going to be careful, and you're not going to end up... So therefore, there's a difference in Yom Kippur and Shabbos. And therefore, they want to suggest that since on Yom Kippur there's a emesa the dina, there's a fear on Yom Kippur, you're not going to end up eating food on Yom Kippur, whereas on Pesach you might end up eating chametz, and therefore you're going to use a stick. How do you feel about that? Does that make sense? Mishnah Berurah's second svara.
Yeah, but the only thing is that we do sometimes say that because chametz
the bedila.
Chametz,
yeah. Yeah, that wouldn't go in line with that. Yeah. Okay. Halacha lemaisa, Rabbeisa, what we are learning now is Aleph. Chometz may not be in your shus. We've learned that countless times previously, even if it's not yours. Point number two, we have learned, if chometz ends up in your domain, you have to get rid of it. And the way you get rid of it is with a stick. Okay, Siv Dalet. Matzah pas per Pesach beveisoi. That's a fascinating halacha. Fascinating halacha. Matzah pas per Pesach beveisoi. You find bread, well, pass. I don't know how to translate pass. I'm going to just say pass. Be Pesach, on Pesach, be in your house. Be any day, chametz or matzah. You don't know if it's chametz or matzah. So, you know, we have to remember that our matzahs are very, very thin. Have you ever seen the temanish matzahs? They are very thick, very, very thick. And sometimes it does look like bread. You don't know if it's bread or yeah, you really don't know. They can do it in 18 minutes, no problem. So the shaila is, you see this item and you find this, oh! And you don't know if it's chametz, pure, proper chametz, or it is matzah. Perhaps the equivalent of the matzahs, which are sold throughout the year, which are chametz gomo. They're not done in 18 minutes, and they are not clean in between, and there are all the various reasons why it's chametz gomo. So if you have something which is, you're not sure if it is chametz or matzah, what would you say you should do? What would you instinctively tell you to do? You would say, just get rid of it. Well, what's the big deal? You know, you don't want to touch it in the day, sir. I would say, also, get rid of it. Says Shulchan Aruch quite differently. You don't know if it's chametz or matzah. Mutar, afilu be'achila, you're allowed to even eat it. Not only allowed to keep it, but even allowed to eat it. Why? The Azlin on Basabaso, because you go after the last event. The most likely, historically, chronologically, what is it likely to be? On Pesach, it's likely to be matzah. It's not likely to be chometz. It's like, you know, it's more likely to be...
What you checked,
yeah. If it's very moldy, and it appears to be fairly old, what are you going to say? Mishnichnas a Pesach, it's impossible, it's gone moldy so quickly. So it must be that it is. Yeah, it must be that it's chometz, it must be that it's old. Then, azvadeh chometz, and it's certainly chometz. Ve'imavu mimei ha-Pesach, shenuchal, lisloy, shenis apesh. If it could be that it's gone a bit moldy, and it could be, it's the last day of Yom Tov, and it could be it's gone moldy on Pesach, and it is a Pesach item, and therefore it is matzah, and if it's, it could be that it's gone so moldy so quickly, if every day you baked fresh chayre, then turnily okel, then we're lenient. Even if it's very moldy, we can assume that it is matzah. Because matzah were baked every day, you can assume that it is the first day lot of matzahs, and it's just gone moldy since the first day. We can say, we say, every day we bake new matzahs, we're not snolov, it's gone moldy since then. But if there's no reason to assume, then we're going to have to assume that it's from before. It's gone moldy. Could assume that it's from before Pesach and it's chometz. And Mishnah Berurah does point that in Sifkot Nud Beis, what I just mentioned, if any then if it is not known, din zeh this halacha, or if minig dezmanom, it's according to the minig of those days. Sha'ofi matzahs ove that ubeik thick matzahs. And they would not look differently. They would not look differently than bread, which is made out of chametz. Sivkot Yud Gimel first, while Atlan Basabasa, you go after the latest one. If you find something, you're not sure if it's chametz or matzah, and it's not mold yet. You don't know if it's chametz or matzah. We go after the latest, the most likely, historically and chronologically, the most recent. And therefore, we're going to say that it is. Matzah, the whole house is full of matzah, so you can assume that it's matzah. Ve'oid, and additionally, moreover, that's your svara, you check the whole house, kedin, as required, halachically, koidin pesach before pesach, for the initial chometz klom, no chometz was left over. Ubevadai, and certainly, matzah, and yishtam shemachon, it's the most likely to be left over matzah as opposed to chometz. Yeah. Would you say, what would you say if you find something in the back of a cupboard? You find a half a cracker in the back of a cupboard. What would you say then? Yeah. Or, you know, in your shoe rack, in the back of the shoe rack, you find a half a cracker.
Well, that might not be chametz.
Yeah, you don't know if it's chametz or matzah. You don't know. You find a half of something. What would you say that it's chum? So we learned now that if you're not sure, you can assume that it is. It's matzah. Oh, very good. Says the Mishnah Berurah, and I think it makes a lot of sense that if it's something that might have been lost or forgotten or something like that, you could assume that it is chametz, and therefore you have to obviously get rid of it. Absolutely, yeah, that's correct. Yeah, so that's what Mishnah Berurah paskins. Okay, Simon Tov Mem Zayin. Moving on to the next subject, which is Tarovitz Chometz, which means what? Tarovitz Chometz, what's a good translation of Tarovitz? Mixture of Chometz. Okay, Chometz be Pesach, Chometz on Pesach, Oiseb Taruvosoi, forbids its mixture, Ben Bemino, Ben Shele Bemino, whether it's its own kind or a different kind of mixture, Pemashu, even if it's a tiny amount, Afilu Behano, even Behano. What does that mean? So normally, if you've got a mixture which gets mixed, what would you say? You cook. You've got a bit of meat with a bit of chalon falls into the cereal. What would you say then? How does it work? What's the halacha? A tiny bit of chalon fits bottle b'sheshem. If a bit of chalon that ends up in your cereal in the morning, I wish you enjoy it. If it's got more than 60 times that chalon, then you can have it. Would you eat it, Chaim? Yeah. Some say you're not allowed to be machmir. Some say you're not allowed to be machmir when it's bottle of shishim. Have you heard of that?
Not nikkah.
I'm talking about not nikkah. Some say you're not allowed to be stringent on that. It's batashchis. Some say that if you've got a bit of cholent that ends up in your cereal, you have to have it. You can't chuck it because it's batashchis. Some say.
If it's
60 times the amount of meat that ended up. All the other way around, you're making challan for Shabbos, and then there is a bit of milk ends up. You're making your coffee, and then you're just not realizing a bit of milk ends up in the challan pot. So here again, if it's bottle of shishim, Some say that you can't, some say, would you feel comfortable eating it? Yeah. So it's right. Over here we're learning that if you've got a bit of chametz that ends up in your, matzah, so the halacha is 61, that's it, 61 make a difference. It's even mashu, even if you've got one tiny bit of chametz against 1,000 non-chametz, it's still going to be also. Okay, and the reason for that is because Chachamim hichmiru bo, that's Mishnah Busif Kodan Aleph, which is the final Mishnah Busif for tonight. Chometz b'mashu b'deraisa, on a Torah level, have a chometz b'shkeshar yisum b'shenis. On a deraisa level, it's it's like any other Issa. She'enun ois in taruvasan, it doesn't forbid the mixture, elok delit in time b'tarovis, which goes 60. Tainu at Shishim, normally it goes with 60. And on a Torah level, it does go with 60. Hello, onish chomim hichmiru b'chomim was stringent in this instance, given the ispe koris lo b'dile mine shkule shato, because chomim felt there's a reason to be stringent when it comes to chomets on Pesach. It's koris, after all, it's more stringent. And therefore, we're not allowing it if it's potl b'shishim. It's not potl b'shishim, but it's even also b'mashu. Yish oim b'shum da'av v'dobar shish l'matirin achar Pesach. Another reason is given because it's something which will become mutter later, and therefore we've got to be stringent. That will be discussed later in Sif Aleph. Okay, just to summarize what we learned this evening, we learned if chometz ends up in your domain, you have to get rid of it. Can't just leave it there. However, the way to get rid of it is through a stick. Why through a stick? Because you're not allowed to touch it. Additionally, we learned if chometz ends up in your domain on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you're not allowed to touch it because it's muktzeh as well. So it's muktzeh. Chometz on Shabbos and Yom Tov is muktzeh. Then we learned if you find a then we learned that if you find something on Pesach and you're not sure if it's chometz or non-chometz, we're assuming that it's kosher le-Pesach, that it's matzah, because we go after the most recent, and the house was cleaned, so you can assume that it's kosher le-Pesach as opposed to chometz. However, if it's moldy, you're going to assume that it is from before Pesach. If you bake every day fresh, then you can also assume that that it's gone moldy since the first day. And then we learned, Simatov Mem Zayin, that we learned that normally foods which get mixed up, the tarovus is bottle b'shishim. Here, however, when it comes to Pesach, it's not bottle b'shishim, it's bottle b'mashu. And the reason given is that it's not bottle even b'mashu. The reason given is because it's more stringent and there's chorus, and therefore chomer machmir, that on a deraisa level, taket bottle b'shishim. But when it comes to the rabbanon, it's not Mutter, even, and it's afilu be'elef. Okay, more on this tomorrow. Be'ezer Hashem, good evening.